upper right-hand corner. Does everybody have that on?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Is it? I used to have them just on the right side, and I saw five faces, but not everybody.
Okay. Yeah, so long as you have it set on gallery view, you'll see it, everybody in a gallery format.
Yeah, that's nice. Okay. So at this time, I'll open the historic meeting for September 2nd?
Second, sorry.
Sorry about that date.
There you go. So approval of minutes for March 4th, 2020.
Who can remember back that long?
Yeah.
Well, I just reread them and I don't see any problems, so I will move to it.
A second.
Yeah, they have a first and a second. And they're probably all built. Those projects are already probably built anyway. So. So, all those in favor of approval?
Aye.
Aye. Let's raise our hands. Okay, opposed? All right, thank you.
Dale, could you speak up a little bit louder, please?
Okay. Is that better? Is that better?
No.
Thumbs up for anybody else that it's working for? Do I need to turn my volume up?
It might be just my reception or...
Can everybody else hear me okay?
Yeah, sounds fine here.
Okay. Are you finding your volume? Tom, can you hear me okay?
I'll try. Excuse me. I'll try my best. I'll lean in closer.
There you go.
That's better.
Okay, so next on the agenda is public forum, and doesn't look like anybody's. We don't have an audience, so we'll move to the next item, which is council liaison and Rich Rosenthal. Hi, Rich.
Hi. Good evening, everybody. Good to see you.
Good to see you too.
So the nice thing about the Historic Commission meetings is they always take place the day after a city council business meeting. And so last night, the city hired a new finance director. Melanie Purcell is her name. She will be joining us, I think, in November, just in time for the next biennial budget process, which is really important. It'd be nice to have a finance director when you go through a budget process. So that's
lucky her.
Yeah, she's got loads of experience. And the nice thing is that she wanted to be here. Ashlyn's job is can be difficult. So it's always nice when a highly qualified finance director wants to come to a city of 21,000 that has some challenges and opportunities. So that's promising. On Monday night at the study session, the council pushed back the process to hire a city manager to the early part of next year. The number of considerations there, the city administrator becomes the city manager on January 1st as a result of the charter change that voters approved in May. And so it's a tough coming in as city manager during a budget process, probably not the best time in my opinion, speaking for myself. And there's a lot of work for staff and also for mayor and council and the budget committee, lots of meetings. And when you do a recruitment for a city manager or department head, there's a lot of time involved in screening that process. And so the thought was to hold off and take a deep breath and wait until the early part of next year to start that process. And plus, it's a financial consideration when you hire a recruitment firm to do a full national search. It's probably about $50,000. I've seen as high as 70, maybe as little as 40 or 50,000, but you know, that's a pretty good chunk of change for the city right now. And it might be that a modified search can have the same result for a little less money. So that's the update on staffing. Last night, the council voted on two union contracts for the International Brotherhood of Electric Workers. Those are the electric department employees, and then also a number of clerical workers in more than just the electric department all over the city. And I think it's very commendable that those particular labor unions made some sacrifices to help save the city some money in a time where, you know, it's uncertain, our finances are uncertain. So they made sacrifices, and I hope that that's an example for other labor union negotiations that take place. The city has five different labor union contracts, plus the non-represented employees who also have an agreement. So not all those contracts come up at the same time. In fact, you don't want them all up at the same time because we don't have enough staff to negotiate all of them at the same time. So they're spaced out, and you know, the majority of city employees are covered under labor union agreements. So when people say, well, you need to cut benefits and, you know, all these things to help the city's financial situation, it's not that simple because you have these contracts and agreements in place that you can't just say, oh, just kidding, we're not going to fulfill the terms of the contract. So it's more complex than that. So that's really what the big stuff on the council meeting agenda last night and also study session this week. Happy to answer any questions that you may have.
Hey, Rich, I just wondered, had the finance director that was hired, had she visited, did she know Ashland before coming here for her interviews? Was she from Texas?
I'm sorry?
Where was she from?
She's worked all over the country. I can't remember where she is now, but she is a theater aficionado. So the prospect of coming to a place where there is a world-class theater was very attractive to her.
Oh, great. Good anchor. Okay, any other questions? All right, we'll move on to the next giant agenda item, which is planning action, PAT1-2020-00122. I see the screen changed. Is there something going on that I should know about?
I am going to show just a brief overview of the project. So you're seeing my screen right now.
Okay, great.
It's a pretty straightforward project and probably more straightforward than a lot of what the Historic Commission is used to seeing. So the property is located at 240 and 244 Van Ness. You can see here in this slide that the 240 Van Ness is an address that is black, which means it's a legitimate address. 244 Van Ness is an address that exists in our system because it was at some point assigned to the property, but is not a legal dwelling unit. And so this project entails taking an existing building that is on the cusp of the Skidmore Academy Historic District. You can see that the district bisects the lot. The portion in question on this application is that rear portion adjacent to the alley. And it was initially built as a workshop and, habitable space, but not a separate dwelling. I think property owners in the past had used it as a separate dwelling. The applicant at this point in time is coming forward to legitimize the second dwelling, do some interior remodel on the building in order to have it be, again, a second dwelling. It is a multifamily zone. Two units are appropriate for the site. But again, because it's within the historic district, we brought it before the commission so that you could review. It's interesting in that this is the front house on Van Ness itself. It is a non-contributing historic structure in that although it was historic, the bones of the building, it was modified substantially in subsequent years, adding stucco and battening board siding and some detail, more Scandinavian in nature, as well as adding some dormers that were not original to the cottage, changing its contributing status to non-contributing. But the portion that is in question now is at the rear of the building, 244 Van Ness, the rear of the property, is a two-story structure, has a two-car garage, and habitable space both upstairs and downstairs. It's a little hard to get a photo of, but you can see it back here. It does mimic some of the styling of the front house. And again, it was built as an accessory structure, so it was not at that point subject to a full site review as it's going through at this point in time. It does have a deck off of the back, a second story leading down to the parking area. And really that is the, just wanted to give you a visual overview of the site. Again, the application is to legitimize this blue building and make it a legal dwelling unit. And as the structure currently exists and there's only interior modifications, really no exterior modifications, but we thought we'd bring it to the Historic Commission as a change in the district that would be adding an additional dwelling in this neighborhood.
Good. Any questions of staff?
Question. Now, the front of the house, is that going to go unchanged, the facade, or the front building?
Yeah, the applicants aren't proposing any changes to the exterior of the building, the front of the house, or the rear unit either.
Okay, and the tree, although we don't always mention it, it's a palm tree in the front. Is that remaining?
Yeah, they weren't proposing changes to the landscaping. Let me share screen again. But there is a, I'm going to get back to this. So here's the palm tree. They're not, that Terry was referring to. They haven't proposed a modification in a landscape plan to remove that. But there is a lack of street trees on the sidewalk in front. So one of the conditions that planning will be looking at is meeting the one street tree per 30 feet of frontage for that section. So, but other than that, the landscaping, they're proposing that the gravel driveway remain as gravel. They do have parking off the rear alley, which was shown in this last photo here, which is a paved alley and parking in the back as well, as well as considerable amount of parking on site. But so no real changes to the exterior, just internal modifications.
Okay, that answers my question. Thank you.
Any other questions of staff? So hearing none, we'll open the hearing to public input, and there is none, so we'll move to...
We do have the applicant in the waiting room. If you want to invite her to speak, we could allow her to talk if she wants to. So, Amy, talking is permitted, but if you have anything to contribute, you're welcome to do so.
Dale, did you ask a question?
Hi, Amy. No.
Hi.
I assume that nobody was here, so glad to have you, though.
Thank you. I'm listening to the back to school, how is this going to function, out of my right ear, and listening to you guys out of my left ear. So feeling spread thin. I don't have anything to add. Eric and Becky have taken a pride of ownership of this property, and they now live here instead of the home that they had been in on the other side of town. And it was Eric's shop, and now he'll be true live work. He'll be living above his construction workshop.
That's a fun project. So are there any questions that Amy might answer for anybody? Seems like a pretty straightforward application. No exterior changes. Cute little buildings. And Any other comments?
None. Thanks for having me. I'm glad you all are back.
I can hear you loud and clear, but I can hardly hear any of the other members.
No one's ever told me I'm quiet.
Well, thank you, Amy. I'm going to mute you now, and that will make you quiet.
Thanks.
The commission can go to deliberation and discussion. Thanks.
Okay, so we'll close the public part of the hearing and deliberation.
Are you looking for a motion?
You know, if you have any recommendations for staff as we review the application, it is a type 1 administrative approval by staff. But as with any development proposal in the Historic Commission, if you had specific recommendations, we'd take those into consideration. Obviously, this is unique in that the building's already there. So as far as modifications that you normally propose for design phase, we don't have those on the table, but sorry.
Go ahead, Tom.
Yeah, I agree with the staff report in regards requiring a street tree or two, whatever the requirement is. I think it really does need a street tree out there. I don't know if that's what you were looking for from comments, or, but that's my two cents.
Yeah, that's fine. I think that's part of the planning issue rather than a historic issue.
Yeah, the other issue was the gravel driveway being retained as gravel, whether that's consistent in a historic district or whether a requirement for paving should be considered.
Gary?
I think it's fine. We kind of like gravel, you know, alleys and driveways. Overall, good. So I'm in favor of it.
I agree. I like the gravel. It's fine.
I also like the gravel.
We're almost making it unanimous. I do as well.
Good.
Gravel, having a gravel driveway myself.
Good. All right. Any other comments, or do we have a motion?
I would like to make a comment before we have a motion. And I think the buildings are very cute, but certainly not historic. You know, when you look back at the original building, there are elements that you see of the original building, but there's also been a pitch change to the roof. It was originally looked like about a 4 and 12 gable roof, and now it's a pretty steeply pitched gable roof. So it's, although you can recognize elements of the original building, it's changed dramatically, and that's not in our purview right now, but it just I kind of regret the loss of the original building. Probably not preventable, but it's just, you know, what we're dealing with right now is just approving what's already there, and it's fine, and it's cute, and it looks good, and the colors are bright and cheery, so I have no objections to it. Mm-hmm.
Brandon, just for information, when was the conversion done on the front building? Do you remember what year that was?
I do not. I think some of the, I don't have that information available.
I didn't recall. I looked on the county website, and I don't recall the date on that picture, but it was probably early 2000s. And then there's a wealth of pictures on the site that show the construction process on the front house and the rear house. So you can see them in pretty great detail. And there was also a little shed in the back with a brick chimney that was demolished to build the back house. So I don't think the changes are bad. It's just often we lose things in the historic district. And if you look at the little shed in the back, you can see it was in very rough shape. It was probably not worth preserving. But just interesting to see the progression of things. And again, I certainly have no objections.
I don't remember ever seeing it. Maybe it was just a building permit for a remodel, and maybe it went to the review board, and I don't remember if there was a planning action for it or not.
Yeah.
It's a cute building. I don't remember what was there at all, but I always admired it once I saw it.
So I think the construction photos of the front building are, I want to say 2017, but I don't know for sure. Most of the construction photos are fairly recent of the back building, just in the last couple of years. So again, it's a nice project, and I have no objections.
Well, Eric is, we've given Eric awards more than once, and I know him pretty well personally, and I agree that it's certainly not a historic structure, but I kind of trust Eric to do the right thing for us.
Oh, thanks for showing that.
Yeah, that's cute.
That was the original?
Yeah, and you can
see. Bill pointed me to the Jackson County Property Data Online imagery that does show this. And you can tell it's a relatively recent photograph.
Looks like it needed help.
Yeah. Well, the thing that I regret is losing that original roof line.
There you go. It exists at this point.
Yeah. No going back there.
Yeah.
I'd like to make a motion to approve planning action T1 2020-00122.
I'll second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Any comments? And we'll go ahead and vote. All those in favor, raise their hand, please. Tom?
Five.
Okay, it looks like we're unanimous.
Can you still hear me?
Yep.
All right.
We hear you fine.
What did you say, Sam?
You want the name of my audiologist?
What? I've been screwing around with the computer trying to get better sound, and I think I might have finally got it.
Okay, well, next on the agenda, we've covered that since we're in the electronic mode here. Are there any discussion items that any other members would like to bring up that are not on the agenda?
I have a question, and it's probably a question more for staff. On the corner of Granite and Nutley, there was this cute little cottage, rather famous, you know, some famous author, it skips my mind, presently lived there. And a few years ago, we approved it being moved and a new home being built. I'm not fond of the new home, especially the front door. But the little cottage, it was my understanding, it's sitting on city property. I think it's part of actually Lithia Park there on a triangle. And it now has a big sign, you know, $1 to be moved and whatever. And the original intent was that they were going to save the little cottage, I think move it to the back of the property, make it a guest house or something. So I'm very disappointed that what's happened is happening.
I agree. Marty Maston, the owner, called me and told me what was going on. Said she was trying to buy the property back from the city, which they had deeded to the city at some point in the past. And she felt like the price was out of the ballpark. And the other excuse for not wanting to keep it where it was planned, which was below the new house, is that she felt like they might have too much impact on the redwood trees that are there. But I think, you know, more than anything, she probably just doesn't want any more stuff on her property. And it is a shame because it seemed like that was part of the application process that we, you know, were happy to approve because it did include that house. And so it's a little sad that it has to go somewhere else and that she changed her mind. And is there any planning issues? Go ahead, Terry.
Yes. Now, it's a highly historic house. Johnny Gruel wrote some of his Raggedy Ann. No, that's another house.
Raggedy Ann.
Okay. Stories. So it's highly historic. And then Joe Peterson just came out with a book that talks about it, that highlights the cottage at 114 Granite.
I'm going to have to leave the meeting. I cannot hear anybody except very hardly at all, and I'm not very good at reading lips. I apologize, but next time we do this, I'll find where the sound setting is, and I've been messing around trying to find it, but no luck. So I'm going to leave the meeting, and good luck.
Okay, thanks, Tom.
So if I could speak to the 114 Granite Street, the commission is entirely correct when it came to you before. It was not a demolition of that structure. It was a relocation of the structure onto the same site. And that was part of what the approval was. And so at this point in time, with the property owner looking to not relocate that to the bottom of the street, it would trigger a demolition permit in order to be removed from the site. We do have a pre-application scheduled for this on Wednesday, September 23rd. And a pre-application is typically so that an applicant can look at what would it take to locate the building on the property. And in this case, at the corner of Granite and Nutley, essentially where it is currently, but meeting appropriate setbacks and not, and actually being fixed to a foundation. So again, I don't know the outcome of that pre-application meeting yet or what the proposal will be from the applicant, but I think they are still pursuing with the potential of what would it take to locate it on that corner.
So then the city is willing to sell them that little triangle of property?
Yeah, that is a separate question that the Parks Commission would look at disposition of public property and looking at, you know, highest and best use for the Parks Department. It would also involve a boundary line adjustment or a partition to create a lot, because where that is currently is on the same lot that the ice rink is. And obviously the city has a vested interest in maintaining that parking lot and that ice rink. So probably would involve a land use partition in order to create a lot that could have the house on it on that corner, or a boundary line adjustment if it was Marty Mastain that was looking at locating it there, all per agreement with the Parks Commission and City Council. So that's a separate track in terms of disposition of public property. The pre-app, I think, is our first really overture in terms of looking at can it be located on that corner.
Is that applicant Mastain?
I believe so.
Mm-hmm. So she must be considering that.
Yeah, I did, just speak to her recently in terms of what the setback requirements are and helping delineate some of that. So there was, as of early last week, at least discussions about that. Mm-hmm. So, I think if it does end up having to be relocated offsite, that would be a demolition permit that would have to go through the planning department to remove a building that's over 45 years old.
So if somebody comes along and gives them a buck and wants to haul it out to White City or something, can they, can the owner do that?
After they complete a demolition review.
But not presently.
Right.
So they really don't have the right to sell it right now.
It's essentially a modification of their prior planning approval that was to relocate it below. And that wasn't a demolition, but I mean, we all recognize that the building is no longer hooked up to utilities. And so some of the aspects of the review of a demolition on the building code side are unnecessary. It's really the planning review in terms of what is the disposition of the property? Is it economically feasible to keep it on site? Is it going into a landfill or is it being reused? Even located to White City would be a reclamation of the material that kept it out of a landfill, which is one of the criteria of a demolition permit. So it's not necessarily historic preservation ordinance. It is, you know, a conservation ordinance to, in part, to keep materials out of the landfill. And that's the part that has not been evaluated. So, but we'll have more information after the 23rd.
But just to be clear, the application is not for demolitions. The pre-app is for relocating in that roughly.
I believe so, but unfortunately, all I can see is 95 Winburn Way, corner of Granite and Nutley. Pre-application on Wednesday the 23rd. So I'm reaching you from home and I don't have access to all the city network drives right now. So.
Okay, well, there's still a chance then. It didn't sound too good when I talked to her. She's kind of pretty negative toward it, but great.
Yeah, on this, if you don't mind,
Rich,
I can say that the city council and the Parks and Recreation Commission and the city attorney's office and obviously, community development and the city attorney's office. It's complicated, but we're all working toward a satisfactory resolution on this.
Maybe the demolition permit should be on their new house.
Ouch.
Regan, could you please strike that from the record?
Okay. So. No, I think they should hear it.
And I told her I was quite disappointed in the direction it was going. And so, but sounds like there's some positive steps, so we'll hope for it. Thanks for your input, Rich.
Dale?
Yeah.
I have a question regarding the items not on the agenda. What's the status of the Historic Preservation Week in the architectural awards?
Regan, could you speak to that?
The status is, I don't know. So it's kind of up to Maria and management right now. So I think with the way things are going right now, I don't know if we can have anything this fall. So I have to defer to Maria on that one and wait till she gets back.
Yeah, I think we moved it from May thinking that it might happen in October, but it doesn't look like that's happening either. So maybe it's next May and we combine it with the new app, the new awards or something. Okay.
Go ahead. I'm wondering about, is there any intent to do the historic review board by Zoom? Or are we just going to go without the review board?
You know, I think that's probably another item to bring up to Maria and Bill Molnar. But at this point, my understanding is that commission meetings that were necessary for time-sensitive issues would be reinitiated. Not all commissions have been reactivated by Zoom. And I haven't seen any overtures in terms of starting up review boards on a weekly basis by Zoom. But again, I can raise that question with her when she returns to the office, and we can send out an email to the Historic Commission regarding whether it'll just be full meetings at this point until we can either modify our processes. We don't have staff in the office largely at this point, so a lot of people are working from home, and it may be that we can set up Zoom meetings for some items if they're of interest to the commission, but I'm not sure about regular weekly meetings at this point without checking.
Mm-hmm.
red, and it seems to me that more important than the review board, I mean, what we also did in the review board was review pre-apps. And so when you're speaking about a pre-app, I'm wondering if that could be included in our agenda. So at least we get to have some input early in the process. Otherwise, it's pretty much all staff, right?
It is. And I think that that really does get back to the review board just because of the timing of it, that, you know, pre-applications coming in at the end of August are scheduled for the Wednesdays in, you know, September. We're up to September 23rd now. We'll have more pre-apps on the 30th, and there won't be another commission meeting between now and then. So that would be a reinstitution of the review board to have historic commission review pre-apps.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's been interesting not being involved. I remember there was a building that then the builder proposed on 8th and B Street, which was slated for the demolition. And I remember Terry, among others, were at a review board, and we, you know, put our thumbs down toward that. And so I have no idea what happened to that, but there's certainly little involvement we have. So I'm a little concerned, but at least we're starting meetings. So that's good. We're going to at least look at proposed projects.
How far backed up are we in terms of historic, our review of projects? Is there a large backlog?
No, I think, you know, part of what Dale was referencing is staff being reviewing and moving projects along that they haven't been waiting for the Historic Commission or COVID. We're mm-hmm. still under the state timelines to, you know, approve planning actions and within a set time frame and building permits as well. So staff has been doing the review for consistency with the standards. So at this point, I would say that there's not a backlog of items. Otherwise, this agenda would have been had more than one item on it.
I have a question for Rich. Rich, is it true that you're retiring?
Well, I'm not retiring from work.
Right, but from the council.
I wish I could. No, I'm not up for re-election. I didn't run. So there will be at least two new counselors. It's at least three of the six will be new. Dennis Slattery is not running again. I'm not running again. And then Julie Akins is running for mayor. So she'll either be the next mayor or she won't be on council at all. So there'll be three new councilors for sure. If Tanya Graham, who's running for mayor, is a current councilor, now if she becomes the next mayor, there will be a fourth council position that will be have to be filled by early next year. So it's going to be a whole new slate of city councilors, with the exception of Councilor Jensen and Seffinger. They will be the holdovers for sure.
Wow. Well, it's been great having you work with us as the liaison. Really appreciate the information you always bring, you know, and just, it's just been really wonderful, your input. Thank you.
Oh, thank you so much. Well, I still have 4 months left, so
it's going to go fast.
Yeah. It's been my pleasure. I've enjoyed it. And, it's not a lifetime appointment, and there are lots of great people like you. I mean, it's not an impossible task to be a city councilor. It's just a volunteer gig with some reading, and lots of people out there are capable of doing a great job. And I'm not worried whatsoever about the future of local government here in terms of the quality of decision making. It's there are difficult decisions for sure, but there are lots of great people who do a good job.
Well, thanks.
Piper, do you have a comment? Oh, I thought you raised your hand. Maybe it's your child behind you. There it is. Well, Rich, in particular, I'd like to thank you for the efforts you put forth to the City Hall renovation. And I know it failed miserably, but we, from a historic point of view, we're going where we want to go. And thanks for your efforts on that.
Yeah, thank you. And just because it was no back in May doesn't mean it's no forever. The circumstances of, you know, the timing of the vote were probably as bad as they could ever be for an initiative like that. I still think it's the right thing to do. It's just the finances, the asking people to increase their property taxes, never easy thing to do, especially in a financial crisis, pandemic situation. So it's going to have to be addressed one way or another in the near term, and because we can't just let it be what it is. It's it needs to be attended to in some way.
Is there any decisions about whether staff would move out of it or not for safety reasons? Is that still
not there's some opinions, but no decisions have been made. But the status quo just isn't going to work for much longer. I think this council, though, this particular group, has maybe stepped up when other councils hadn't. We tried to make something happen. It just didn't happen this time, but so it'll be up to the next group to figure out what happens next.
Okay, great. Any other subjects that commissioners would like to bring up? Brandon, is that it?
I've got nothing additional.
Okay. So at this time, we'll adjourn the meeting.
Thank you.
Thank you all for participating.
Good to see everybody.
Seems to work out pretty well.
Good to see you guys.
Yeah, nice to see everyone.
Good night.
Okay.
Stay safe. Bye. Yeah. You too. Bye.
Bye-bye.